Chapter 3. The Whispers. Passion whispers to you through your feelings, beckoning you toward your highest good. For me, the early days of 2018 will forever be marked by the devastating mudslides that swept through my community of Montecito, California. 22 people perished in the powerful avalanche of earth and debris that surged down the mountains in the aftermath of deadly wildfires and torrential rain. As I watched my neighbors gather to grieve, link arms, and ultimately endure, I was reminded of how, in a flash, your entire life can be changed forever. Natural disasters, illness, accidents, and unexplained events. There are gut-wrenching moments occurring every day that can blindside even the most aware and bring us to our knees. This experience has heightened my understanding of what circumstances beyond our control really means, and it's made me more attuned to what we truly have the power to control. The mudslides were a phenomenon. There was no way to prevent the catastrophic tragedy that literally came crashing through people's front doors. But that's not the case for most personal struggles. Situations like job loss, financial problems, a painful breakup, or a chasm between you and your child might feel like a shock, but they rarely arrive without whispers along the way. Over the years, I've taken every opportunity I could to share one of my most cherished spiritual principles. Your life is always speaking to you. It speaks in whispers, guiding you to your next right step. And in many situations, the whisper is also the first warning. It's a quiet nudge from deep within saying, something feels off. It's a small voice that tells you, this is no longer your place of belonging. It's the pit in your stomach or the pause before you speak. It's the shiver, the goosebumps that raise the hairs on the back of your neck. Whatever form the whisper takes, it is not a coincidence. Your life is trying to tell you something. Heeding these signs can open the doors to your personal evolution, pushing you toward your life's purpose. Ignoring them, sleepwalking through your life, is an invitation to chaos. Life is about growth and change, and when you are no longer doing either, you've received your first whisper. Pay attention to what makes you feel energized, connected, and stimulated. Follow your intuition. Do what you love, and you will do more than succeed. You will soar. The upcoming examples you'll hear help illustrate both the miraculous and disastrous outcomes that can occur depending on how you respond to life's whispers. I'm particularly struck by the conversation I had with author, speaker, wife, and mother, Shauna Nyquist. Shauna was married, raising two sons, and traveling the country with a full-time job when she realized she could no longer ignore the ever-increasing warning bells that the life she wanted did not resemble the life she had. As we talked, Shauna shared how, in her case, the signs were both physical and spiritual, and how by finally taking the time to listen to the call and create the changes she most needed, she found peace.
If we went out to dinner and talked about the things that mattered to us most, I would say, family matters so much to me.
Yeah.
My spiritual life matters to me. A deep sense of connection with the people that I love, play and memory making and adventure, that's who I am. And if you looked at my day-to-day life, you would say, frankly, who you are is exhausted, isolated, anxious, not sleeping well, always hustling to leave something early to come late to the next thing, skimming in all of my most important relationships, hoping that they'll still be there when I get back from this thing or that thing. So I was forced to realize that the gulf between the two was growing at quite a rapid rate. The idea I had in my head and the thing I was.
What is the thing? Was there a moment that you were forced to look at yourself? I think the moment when you're out in Maui with your son and it's beautiful and you should be enjoying this amazing moment. That's one of them. I want to share that.
Some people recommended this beach that was like the best snorkeling ever. And so I went with my son. He's 8 at the time. We're holding hands. I mean, it's one of those picture-perfect parenting moments where you're like, this is it. I'm going to hold this in my heart forever. It was like two halves of my brain and two halves of my heart, and I had this deep, I think the best word I can think of is self-loathing. This, I hate myself. I hate being myself. I'm the problem with everything. I'm ruining everything. The set of voices, I couldn't figure out why they were coming out at this point, except I realized it was the only time I'd been silent in as long as I could remember. Complete, total silence. Not my own voice chattering, not my kids, not my husband, not my to-do list running in my mind, not me running from one thing to another. Complete, total silence that I did not choose. And it was in that silence that I realized there are a lot of things I think that I've been running from, that I've been hiding from. And I've been using busyness as a defense, as a barrier against facing. Where are these feelings coming from? What are they about? What will it look like to heal them and bring them out into the light? I was exhausted. And for me, my exhausted self is my worst self. I'm short-tempered. I'm anxious. I get controlling about stupid things. Things need to happen my way when I'm really, really tired.
Okay. You said if somebody had offered you the opportunity to do anything you wanted, like a blank check, you would have said,
I just want to stop. Just everything. I want to stop this fast-moving train that my life feels like. And that's not me. Mm-hmm. I'm a dreamer. I am an adventurer. I'm not a person who just wants to stop.
I would take the check just to be able to do nothing for a moment.
Yeah, yes. And that showed me, like, I don't want to be that person.
And also something you said that struck me, that you were productive, 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 but you knew you were not well.
When I look back, I had migraines. I had vertigo. I had what our family affectionately termed the stress barfs, where I would just throw up several times a week when I got anxious about something.
You weren't sleeping.
Not sleep. I would wake up every day at 3 a.m. These are warning signs. I wasn't listening to my body. I wasn't listening to my soul. I was just continuing to work.
So even when your body is saying something's wrong, because waking up and barfing, your
right?
body is trying to speak to you. I always think that everything is speaking to you all the time. Your life is speaking to you all the time. But even then, you couldn't hear it or called it something else.
I think I was so invested in the perception of being known as a highly competent, responsible person. And that was so important to me that I sacrificed my physical health, my emotional health, so that I could be known as someone who's really, really capable.
Here's Bishop T.D. Jakes.
We are not using our life, our time, our energy for our highest and best use. And something in the back of this brain back here is going, ding, 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 ding. You're missing it. You're missing your life, your purpose, your passion, your excitement, your enthusiasm. And through these classes, what we want to do is shake you and rattle you and stir you up to understand that every moment is a gift, every second is a gift, every thought is a gift, every idea is a gift, every opportunity is a gift, everybody you meet is a gift. You are gifted with opportunities, and I want to show you how to begin to maximize what you've got.
And now my conversation with Danny Shapiro.
I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, into this state of sort of existential panic. I didn't know what was wrong, but there was this feeling that I was falling and that there was just nothing to catch me.
Mm-hmm.
And I intuitively knew that it had to do with a spiritual crisis.
You know, what's interesting is, you were feeling this sense of angst, this sense of urgency, this sense of flooding your body all of the time. But at least you were feeling it. I think so many people are so disconnected and numbed by the routine of life that they don't even have an opportunity to stop and know what they're feeling.
Well, the feeling that I had was that I would get my whole day done and check everything off every list that I had to do and drive everywhere that I had to drive and do everything that I had to do, answer emails and just do all of the things in that endless kind
of... And then your last thought at night is, oh, we're running out of dog food.
And
the same thing that everybody
hit
goes
the pillow,
through.
Fall asleep. And then something in my being was forcing me awake because it was the thing that I hadn't dealt with. It was the most important thing. But what happens in life is it's just very easy to say, well, I'll deal with that later. I'll get to that at some point.
Yeah. So you're blessed to have that restlessness, really.
Yeah, it's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a wake-up call.
Carolyn Mace.
We have an intuitive voice in us. We are born intuitive. We are so intuitive that it's actually, for most people, the source of their greatest suffering, all right? Because people hear when they've betrayed themselves. People are very much aware when they are not honest with themselves. Okay. People, it's that voice that says, you shouldn't have said that. You know that's not right. It's the voice of your consciousness. It's the voice you don't want to hear that never turns off.
Okay.
And when you follow this voice and you push, this is the part that says you should push and you should do this. So it's the part that keeps us moving and turning the wheel of our life. It's also the part that says you've done as much as you could now. It will guide you. It will say this is it.
So what you're saying is exactly what I've always believed and how I've operated. Being able to accept lives within the range of doing all that you can do.
That's
and
right.
when you have done everything
right.
that you can do,
that's
you
right.
surrender it.
That's it.
Let it go.
That's right.
To the power and energy that's greater than yourself.
That's it.
That's what you do.
That's right. Give it your all. Give it your best. And this inner voice.
And then not be attached to the outcome.
Totally. You got it. That's it.
Adyashanti shares his powerful insight.
I think it all ties down to our identity, what we really, really are. Because if we don't know that, what we're doing is we're always living a life where we're chasing to fulfill a sense of self, which feels underneath it inauthentic. That's just rampant in our society, isn't it?
Yes. Oh,
I don't like myself. I have bad self-esteem. And then life becomes a compensation for not knowing who we are, because it is almost like a wound within us when we get disconnected from the truth of our being. We do feel that. And then we're trying to fill it with love or approval or success or the million ways that we seek fulfillment from outside of ourselves. And no matter how much fulfillment we get, there's that place inside that until we've realized the truth of our being, until we've realized we are a presence primarily and a person secondarily, we will feel estranged from our own being and each other.
Jon Kabat-Zinn, the master of mindfulness.
We're mostly totally the same as human beings. Our minds are unruly. We distract ourselves infinitely. We're like out of our minds a lot of the time, but we have the capacity to know it and therefore drop back in.
I think that's true. We're out of our mind. No, we're out of our awareness most of the time.
And out of our hearts.
And out of our hearts.
What mindfulness is saying is find your own way. Listen to your own heart. Listen to your own, you use the word longing.
Longing.
Listen to your own yearning. Because what we're really trying to do is live our life as if it really mattered.
Because it does.
And now, a teachable moment from Pema Chodron.
My whole life, I've had that instinct of what's forward. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It makes all the sense to me. I think everybody has patterns.
Yeah.
And it's your job to figure out what your pattern is. Mine is, I've learned as much as I can learn doing this thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now I need to
go forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happens when I've learned as much as I can learn at that thing. And then something else opens itself.
And nowadays, forward, I never know where forward is going to be these days,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But somehow there's always forward.
A forward,
yeah.
yes. I think as long as there's still breath, there is forward.
Yeah, I think so too.
How do you define spirituality versus religion? What is spirituality?
It's like getting into a boat and leaving the shore and going out where you can't see the shoreline anymore.
Yes.
And you're not really sure if you're ever going to get back, because it's big
so vast
and
open. Yes, yes, I love that.
And that's what I mean about when you stop being fixed about how it has to be and who you have to be. You're more like a river than a rock, if you know what I'm saying. Like
yeah.
it keeps moving yeah. forward, because that's natural.
Listen to how Amy Purdy followed her instinct and finally found peace.
I want people to not look at my story and say, oh, it's amazing what she's done. That's so inspiring. I want them to also feel that they have that inside of themselves.
Yeah, to live an inspired life.
Live an inspired life.
Yeah. Well, you're doing that. You know you're doing
mm-hmm.
that.
So I've had all these little whispers throughout my life. You're meant to do more, Amy. You're meant to do more. And now those whispers have quieted down. I feel like because I'm doing it.
You're in the space mm-hmm. where you belong.
Right.
Yeah. And here, inspired words from U.S. Representative John Lewis.
We were just ordinary human beings, ordinary people, touched by what I like to call the spirit of history. Some force just grabbed us. People had to do something. Then people had to say something. If not, I don't think history would have been kind to us.
And now, Wes Moore explains how he found clarity.
You know, oftentimes I would think that, oh, well, I'm just waiting on God to tell me where he wants me to go.
Yeah.
I'm just, God, tell me, what is it you want me to do?
Yeah.
And I've come to a very clear understanding now. It's not that God's not talking to me. It's that for so long, I just haven't been listening.
Yes.
I've been allowing so much of the noise to cloud this conversation I'm supposed to be having. And I've been so distracted that he's been sending messages this whole time.
Kerry Washington has this to say.
I really believe that if I want something, that God has three answers. It's either yes, mm-hmm. yes, but not right now, mm-hmm. or no, because I have something better in store for you.
And now, a powerful lesson in direction from Thomas Moore.
The ultimate care of the soul is being so identified with the life that wants to live through you. That's that idea of that dream wants to be embodied. I mean that very practically. So at any point in your life, you may get the hint that you should be moving on to maybe a different job or a different marriage, or you should be moving on different thinking or a different religion or something. And if you hold back on that and say, no, that would disrupt me, or you wouldn't even think it through, but you would decide to say no to life, I think that's where the soul gets wounded most. Your individuality comes from your soul, not from your head. It comes from allowing life to live through you. So you're open enough. You're the receiver.